and You Just Can't Say Goodbye. Written by Gayest Catra and read by K-Burb. This is a Locked Tomb fic, rated teen and up audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationship between Gideon slash Harrow. Abbreviated summary. Harrow understands apocalypse once Gideon is gone.
Go and sneak us through the river's flood is rising up on your knees. Oh, please. Come on, haunt me. I know you want.
Author's notes. Content warnings. Past major character death, sort of, not exactly, it's the locked tomb. Grief slash mourning slash related hurts. Brief non-graphic references to violence and self-harms in the context of lobotomizing oneself. Can't believe these books are real, TBH. Discussions of past mass murder and war crimes in the context of Harrow's existence, TM. It is in those brief days, before she realizes what needs to be done, that Harrow first understands apocalypse. Strange, because she was weaned on the concept, understood from birth that her own existence was the result of an apocalypse of sorts, that she was a walking war crime who could never be worth the price. Understood their world as the burned-out ashes of another one, understood necromancy itself as an apocalyptic aftermath. It was fundamental to every way of life, because without the end, there could not have been the beginning. The beginning that usurped endings, truncated apocalypse, could only have been brought through one. And yet, she never had an intimate knowledge of what apocalypse would mean. No matter how close she came to death, no matter how dire the state of the ninth, no matter what visions her mind conjured. She had loved a dead girl from sight, had seen her parents hang for it, and still did not fully comprehend endings. Perhaps because the world itself was built on cheating them. Her parents were dead, but to the ninth, they were alive, because puppets were enough to keep that lie afloat, and whilst there was a lie, there was some truth of it, too. They were alive, in some measure, because they were believed to be. And the corpse of the locked tomb was dead, but the kind of dead that meant an ending was not the kind of dead you guarded with all your heart and soul. Both those endings were half measures. Death cheated through puppetry or possibility, through belief or devotion. This ending. Her ending. The name she can hardly bear to think. This ending cannot be cheated, she believes, for the cold hours she lives with that idea of truth. God himself saw her on her knees to him, forehead to the floor, and told her it could not be done. God himself was not enough. And that is the apocalypse, not because he tells her the universe is ending, but because her universe ends without Gideon in it. Ends not in hypothetical sentiment, born of emotion or the enormity of grief, but in the plain fact, ends, because she cannot conceive a universe with this truth. Her whole being rejects it. The universe is inconceivable. Her own self is unknowable, and that is an ending. It is not that this will kill her, although that is not too far from possibility to be discounted. It is just that she is empty. Everything in her is empty, wind howling through a mausoleum of disbelieving grief and absence. She understands it now, one flesh, one end. Catches an amber eye in the edge of a mirror, an eye that doesn't belong in her face, and that is the flesh, theirs. And she recalls a crooked smile, and a death she would have torn worlds to prevent, and that was Gideon's ending, and it was Harrow's apocalypse, and so that is the end, theirs. If there is comfort to be found in the fact that even past the point of no return, their fate is something to be shared, then Harrow has yet to find it. She would have rather remained apart. For all that some part of her she disowned longed for closeness, she would take any distance over the intimacy of a shared end. Part of her, in a breath of lucidity, remembers all she did to bind Nav down to the ninth, to force her to stay, and wishes hindsight could undo. If she had known, she would have let all of space spool out between them, would have eked out an existence in the echoes of that hatred that was closer than any love she had ever been dealt, would have taken the emptiness of a life undone. Any of it, all of it, better than a closeness that destroyed them both so surely. And yet, she had always been so terribly bad at staying away from fires that could burn her. Love was always the worst of them. Whether love for the course of the tomb, a love that killed her parents, or the hate for Gideon, of Gideon, in Gideon, that was always too close to another emotion in a mask. Because the feelings were never opposites, she understands. There was the finest of lines between them, and in the last days, she crossed it with impunity, in secrets told in salt water, smiles seared on her brain. She is 200 dead children. She has lived with the weight of that all her days, and yet it is the child who survived that destroyed her, in the end. Perhaps it ties up neatly. Perhaps this is justice. Hero, the war crime, and Gideon, her apocalypse. Swifter death than the ending she was raised on. Only justice should not have taken her with it. Let it take Harrow. Let it take her a dozen times, and it would still not be recompense. And if she had that moment back, that moment of last moments, sunshine and blue skies and blood, she would be faster. She would be better and surer and pay some small way toward balancing the scales. She would save the life she owed to Gideon. And if she died for it, she would die, and her death would not be an apocalypse, if she died with the universe still conceivable. But time. She can defeat death, transcend veils, undo 100 knots of reality, and time will still elude her grasp, still continue to rush on, inexorable tides, refusing the mercy of second chances. Time. And perhaps that's what gives her the answer, in the end. Because she can't turn back time. Cannot unstitch it, but she could cut it at the root, stop progress in its tracks. It is one thing to turn back to the moment before you swallow, another to drag the swallowed thing back out of your throat. She cannot return to a blue sky and the worst decision, but she doesn't have to digest the consequence. If apocalypse was the loss of the ability to comprehend the universe, then she can truncate that ending if she loses her ability to comprehend apocalypse. A soul she does not recognize cannot knit with her own. An ending she does not remember cannot beget further endings. It is not a surety. It is wild hope, and yet she embarks upon it as if it is certain, because it is the only shape of the future she can bear. Harrow cuts the memories from her skull and runs. She does not know, then, to look back. Necessarily, the escape has stolen any chance to understand if it worked or not. She cannot remember, and so she cannot look to see if she has paused the apocalypse in its tracks. And if she could, she would turn to see only the end rolling on full force, because the forgetting is the price of the possibility to halt it. It is not until much later that the ending is restored to her. It is not until she understands what she lost that she remembers what apocalypse feels like, realizes anew what, who, is her own personal ending. She understands apocalypse first, when she is too empty to cry. And second, when she cries like she has never cried before. Both times, that end has the name of Gideon Nav, and the tool it wields to destroy her is something, if she knew a little better, she would have called by a word briefer still. Love is the truest apocalypse, after all. The end.